Though our mind is elsewhere, COVID is not done with us. And we'd like to get an update on that. Dr. Kevin Most has been joining most of us here on WGN through the last number of months, trying to get us through that particular health crisis, as it now has been eclipsed, at least temporarily, by the public unrest here throughout the United States. And let's talk about what public health officials keep warning about, which is people who are going to protests are not socially distancing. I'm looking at a protest right now on the north side in Lincoln Park, and there's got to be hundreds of protesters out there, and they are basically shoulder to shoulder, and most of them are not, well, many, I should say many of them, are not wearing masks. How dangerous do you think that is, Doctor?
Bro, I think it's pretty concerning. You know, if we think of a asymptomatic carrier rate at, you know, whatever number you want to pick, just look at the numbers that you just said right there. All you need is 3, 4, 5 people that are asymptomatic carriers in that group with the yelling, screaming, chanting, whatever. They're expelling a lot more virus than you would in a normal conversation. So certainly we're concerned that now those individuals may look to be young and healthy and may be able to survive well, but many of them are going to go home to where there may be a grandparent or a vulnerable person. So definitely we have concerns across the country of a potential spike here in the next 10 to 14 days.
Right. And again, you know, we look at Chicago, what's happening here, as we should, but this is happening in almost every major city, save Newark, New Jersey, of all places, a city that damn near burned completely to the ground in the 1960s, has had very limited problems. It's interesting. I'd like to know what they're drinking there. What I would suggest here is the new numbers came out today, Illinois numbers. There were 1,600 new cases today. That's up significantly from yesterday, and 125 new deaths, which is interesting because yesterday was the lowest number of deaths announced, just a couple dozen deaths, and I don't want to minimize that, but that number yesterday was the lowest that we've had since the middle of March here in Illinois. So that seemed to be heading in the right direction, but these numbers are going to wobble around here, do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. You're going to see some little blips up, some little blips down. You know, if you look right now at most hospitals, they have many patients that may have been hospitalized for 30, 40 days, many of them on ventilators for a long period of time. Those are the individuals that you can't predict, are they going to really improve and get off the ventilator, or are they going to, you know, unfortunately expire because of the illness? So we will see some blips up and down. I think the big numbers that we should look at is the number of hospitalizations and the number of ICU beds that are being used and the number of ventilators. So we were seeing, even out here in the western suburbs as well as downtown, we were seeing some improvement, and now we just have to kind of keep our fingers crossed.
Okay, so what do you suggest for people who've been taking part, or they're in a family with someone in their household who's been taking part in these demonstrations?
You know, right now we have such testing availability now that really anybody who's in these protests, I would say within the next 5, 6, 7 days, it's not a bad idea to get tested. There's plenty of state facilities where you can get tested now, and drive-through facilities, as well as many hospitals now have.
Even if you're asymptomatic.
Right, because I think right now my concern is these individuals that were in these marches, exposed to somebody who's asymptomatic, now they're asymptomatic. Those are the guys that we want to identify as quickly as possible and put them away. If you said everyone was wearing masks and being socially, you know, doing physical distancing, I wouldn't be as concerned. But because you're all in this large group, now I'm concerned. We've gone backwards almost to this is a sporting event and people aren't wearing masks. You know, it's exactly what we were trying to stay away from.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to make this a sporting event.
No.
To make it the crowd of individuals exuberantly
Kevin,
cheering or chanting, correct?
Your analysis there is 100% right. I mean, I would imagine for the people who are in the sports industry who are looking at this and they're like, oh my God, this is exactly what they were, you know, they've been consulting with medical professionals like yourself and scientists, and this is exactly what they were concerned about. And then you do have the potential for people who are asymptomatic who are considered to be super spreaders because they don't know that they are, and they can become highly contagious for, you know, a window of time. And if they're around older people or they're around, you know, people who are more vulnerable. And there's also some sort of weird kind of genetic proclivity to getting sick with this, even with younger people that have no underlying other circumstances. And then they find themselves with blood clots or other kinds of things. I want to get some phone calls in at 312-981-7200. People have questions for the doctor since he's here. And there was a story today. I want to get your thought on this. A European study indicates that, and this is coming out of the data coming out of Italy. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this or you saw this, that there may be another variant. You know, there's been talk about whether there was like an Italian version of this, and then there was an Asian version of this, and you know, one was more dangerous than the other. People on the West Coast that were initially getting this, didn't present as quite as sick as people on the East Coast in New York were presenting, and then there were statistical anomalies concerning that. 100% clear whether that was true. Now there are some scientists in Europe that are saying that there may be another turn in this virus that actually makes it less dangerous. And I want to ask you your thoughts on that. Dr. Kevin Most is with us. We'll take your phone calls. We're talking about coronavirus, and it's still here. We're not talking about that very much right now because of all the other stuff that is happening on the streets of Chicago and around the nation. But I want to go back to this question that there are some European scientists that think that there may be another version of coronavirus that is actually a weaker version. What do you make of all of this? There's a stronger version, a weaker version, or is COVID-19 just COVID-19? Kevin.
Completely. You know, we know that virus...
Wait, start over again. I'm sorry that you weren't up. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, you know, COVID-19 is not always COVID-19. We know that viruses mutate. Think about the influenza virus that mutates all the time. Think of the cold viruses that mutate. That being said, you know, what the story that's coming out of Italy saying, boy, this one's less potent. It's really not doing much harm to people. We really have to be careful that may be a strain that they're seeing now, but that may not end up being the predominant strain. That may not be the strain that is going to end up, you know, being here. So right now, we really have to make sure we don't get this false sense of security saying, oh, there's a new strain and we are all going to be fine. We still have to look at the chance of mutation happening because viruses mutate all the time, and which one is going to be the predominant one, we don't know at this time.
Okay, so be careful about any of that. We should still be treating this as though it is very, very dangerous. Is that
absolutely
your takeaway on
that? Especially if you're in a vulnerable population. You know, we know that a lot of people will have this and really not end up in the hospital and do well. The individuals that we're concerned about, is that vulnerable population. But, you know, for the young, healthy people that are potentially going to get this, they're going to do quite well, and hopefully they're going to end up with good antibodies that are going to give them much longer protection.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the phone, 312-981-7200. I agree with you on that. Craig, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Craig.
Hi, how are you? Dr. Most, Roe, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you for calling.
Okay, good. I got a question on possible spikes down the road. Before I get to my question, I'm actually like a personal question before the general question. Doctor, I personally do not have a general doctor at all, so that if I were to, I'm so impressed with hearing you on the radio, and I don't have a general, do I have any chance of going to Central DuPage and becoming a patient?
You have a great chance to come to Central DuPage and becoming a patient. Unfortunately, not with me. I only do urgent care, emergency care. So I don't have regular patients. I just see patients on a walk-in basis, which allows me to do my other job as well without, you know, discounting other patients where they would see me as their regular doctor and I couldn't provide the services. But I appreciate the offer.
Uh-huh. Okay, so no chance of just picking you up as a general. Yeah, it has to be an emergency basis only, huh?
All right. So anyway, so go ahead. So what
is that correct?
The idea of that, Craig, though. That's a good way to start. But you can call any of these hospitals, and they will refer you to a general physician. So
but I mean, I hear the professionalism at which he speaks and all that, he's so comfortable. You know, I would... You know, we all do that. We look for someone who we're really comfortable with.
Right.
Well, you couldn't fit the bill better than that, Dr. Moe. That's why I'm so interested in asking you.
But that is so nice of you to say about him. All right,
Call
Dr. Phil. All right, so your question really is, what happens if we have new spikes? Is that it?
Right, yeah. You know, either due to the demonstrations or the changing of the season, say, 3-4 months from now, September, October kind of thing. Yeah. What if we do, well, hopefully we don't, but what if we do see a substantial spike? Do we start from, like, 0-1 with these phases and groups and stuff? You know, what happens? Yeah,
what do you think will happen there, Doc?
Yeah, you know, from the the government side, I'll leave that up to the government officials, but from the medical side, I think we've had enough learnings over these last 100 days that when we start to see that second spike, we will start to handle things differently. We'll have PPE much more quickly. We'll really look at those nursing homes and make sure who's going into nursing homes from a work point of view, as well as trying to make sure we test the patients in the nursing homes. So we'll have a bigger focus on those vulnerable populations, as well as we'll have a much better idea of how it spreads and what we can do. We may not be as focused on cleaning things as we are making sure everyone wears masks. So we learned a lot in these 100 days. We hope to have a little couple months of a slowdown break, and then we'll really be prepared. And from the hospital point of view, a lot of negative airflow rooms have been built, a lot of changes as far as physical distancing and waiting rooms. So we've made a lot of changes that would hopefully lower that secondary curve as well.
All right, Catherine, you're on WGN. Go ahead, Catherine.
Hi, I hear so much, you know, testing available, and how much does it cost, and is it covered by insurance? If you don't have insurance, how much does it cost, and does it vary everywhere?
You know, Catherine, it's a great question because there's always been the statements that has been made by the government saying everyone can be tested and there will be no charge. So if you look at our state facilities where you can go, in county facilities where you can go and do the drive-through testing, there is no charge for that. So, you know, there's going to be plenty of opportunities where you can. Now, some doctor's offices may be offering the testing, and they may send it to a commercial lab where there may be a charge. But if you want to minimize the charge portion of it, look in your local areas as far as where testing. DuPage County will start doing testing on the county level. We have one out in Aurora. So there are many around the state right now where you can get tested for free.
Let me ask you about the test, though,
yeah.
Because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I have a friend who is married, and he tested positive for the antibodies. He thought he had it, and he was positive. His wife also thought she'd had it and was negative for the antibodies. How can we believe in these tests, and are there certain tests that are better than others?
Well, yeah, definitely there are certain tests who are better than others. We know that initially a bunch of tests that came in from China were not good antibody tests, and that's why we waited as long as we had. People also have to remember that when we test for antibodies, we want to make sure that we're doing the right test. IgG antibodies are antibodies that will show up 10 days to 20 days after you've had the infection. IgM antibodies are ones that show up right when you're having the infection. So depending on what test they have, one may be negative, one may be positive, and then you'll flip them around and it says, wait, now it's the other way around. My IgM is gone, but my IgG is here. So yeah. Really you need to understand the testing and the timing of the testing based on when you had the infection to understand what the actual results are.
And are people losing their antibody protection?
That's the big thing that we're really concerned about, and a lot of studies going on for that right now. Matter of fact, Northwestern doing one currently where we're testing all the individuals right now for antibody testing, and then we will test them again in 2 or 3 months to see, all right, is it still positive and what levels are they at? That's mm-hmm. going to be the big thing, Ro, that's going to tell us how much of a vaccine do we need and who needs the vaccine after you've been infected.
All right. Lena, you're on WGN talking to Dr. Kevin Most. Go ahead, Lena.
Hi. I had heard something, I don't know if it was from you or Dr. Awadi or someone, thinking that possibly it was also transmissible via sweat. And I haven't heard much about that.
No, Lena, it wasn't me. You know, unless you kind of spit on yourself and then you sweat it off, really it's coming from your respiratory tract, not from your skin.
Yeah, and that's what I thought was weird, because that was something, like, early on that was a thought. So, and yeah. I hadn't heard much about that, negating it or...
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you negated that. And I'm also really glad for the colorful description, Doc. Thank you, very, very helpful. Thank you, Lena. Appreciate it. Let's talk to Karen. You're on WGN. Go ahead, Karen.
Oh, hi. I'm so thrilled to talk to you. I have a 4-year-old grandson and a 7-month-old grandson that I cannot stop thinking about. I want to go up to Wisconsin next week to see them. My daughter is a nurse, and she has been exposed to the virus. She works at St. Mary's Hospital.
Did she get it? Did she actually present with the disease, COVID-19?
No.
Oh, she works
every day
setting.
When
okay.
she comes yep. in.
Yeah, got it. Right. So what is your question?
I'm 64, and my husband's 68, and they're more worried about us coming up there. Both of their children are in daycare. So do we go or we don't go?
Yeah, you excellent don't care. Question. That's a tough one. You can go. And you were going down a really good road that I was going to give you some more encouraging words until you told me that they both go to daycare. You know, at that point, you know, now you've expanded your pool. If they were to be two kids that stayed at home and were, you know, kind of quarantined in their own home, then I'm a little bit more okay because we know what they've been exposed to. Since they're not and they've gone to, I mean, I hate to say it, the petri dishes of daycare, we don't know what they have. So if you want to see them, you're going to have to see them from a distance if you want to be safe. There's just too much risk right now, especially in ones that have had multiple exposures. And you're talking as well about your daughter who has had exposures as well, but I'm sure was wearing PPE appropriately and is fine.
Let's talk about doctor's appointments for people who are not sick with COVID, but they've got other things that they need to either regular doctor's appointments or some sort of treatment for a disease they're in right now. Should they be going back now?
Ro, I can't stress how important it is that people do. You know, doctor's offices are much safer than going to to Jewel or to Binny's or to getting gas, to be honest with you. We have redesigned our offices. We are minimizing the time that you're in a waiting room at all. We are cleaning the rooms. We're seeing, unfortunately, patients who are putting this off and now are coming in with illnesses that, boy, we wish we would have seen 3 weeks ago or a month ago. So please, the appointments where you really need to go in, where the doctor needs to examine you and needs to listen to your heart, needs to listen to your lungs, please do that. We're as safe as we possibly can, and we are much cleaner and safer than any environment you're going to be in.
And Dr. Most, last question. Restaurants are opening up. They already opened up throughout the suburbs, and they're opening up in downtown Chicago now. Again, all for outdoor. What is your suggestion on how people can protect themselves?
Yeah, you know, and the outdoor seating is great. You know, when you look at it, you're not only are you physically distancing, but you're also outdoors. So the air circulation is phenomenal in most parts. So really, I would just say have some hand sanitizer with you and just kind of be careful. The servers are all going to be wearing masks, which is going to protect you from them. And I wouldn't be worried about any food sources. You know, we have not shown that it's been transmitted by food. I think it's time that we start to use the outdoor facility restaurants and give them some support, but just be careful. And, you know, walk in, eat, walk out, leave, and wash your hands, and I think you'll be safe and fine.
All right. Dr. Kevin Most from Northwestern Medicine, thank you very much. Always appreciate your time, Kevin.